And think about it for a second, guys. If I told you, listen, if you continue to be a Christian, if you continue to go to church and read your Bible and pray and tell other people about Jesus, if you go down that path, then you're going to be arrested and you're going to be put to death in a gruesome way because of that. How many of us would say, even so, I'm going to serve the Lord Jesus? How many of us would say, if I die, I die? I'm gonna serve the Lord. Our God's able to deliver us, but if not, right? So what a testimony Peter had. So if you're able, let's stand together. 2 Peter chapter 3, pick up at verse 1. Several weeks ago, we studied verses 1 and 2. We're going to read those to get the context. We're going to focus on the passage following that, verses 3 through 7. Verse 1, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before of the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, and I thank you for your word. I thank you that we have heard the very word of God in reading the scriptures. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that convicts us, that guides us, that teaches us. And I pray that you'll do that great work in our hearts tonight. Give us ears to hear. Help us to be ready to hear, to trust, and to obey. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless your word in spite of me. Help us to be on guard, to beware of false prophets as you instructed us to, Lord, and help us to always recognize that there are going to be scoffers in these days, and help us to stand strong in the truth no matter what. Please bless now, and I pray that if anyone hearing this message needs to make a decision for Jesus tonight, that we would all be submissive to your will. The lost would be saved. The saved would be surrendered, follow you in baptism, serve you faithfully in the local church. Whatever your will is, let it be done, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about verses 1 and 2, and basically it's this: wake up and be mindful. He says, I write now to you in both of my letters, I wanted to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. And we learned a lot about that. But basically, saying, I want to stir you up, that means to wake you up. I want you to be fully awake and aware of what's going on. And I want to stir you up so that you'll remember. What do we need to remember? We need to be mindful and remember the Word of God. And this is a crucial verse, if you didn't realize it, when it comes to the canon of Scripture, understanding what is Bible and what isn't. Because what Peter does here is he says that the Old Testament prophets and the commandments of the apostles are equal. Amen. So Peter's saying what I say and what Paul says and what John says, these things are the same. It's all the very Word of God. And that's vital that we understand that. Okay, and so wake up. Maybe it's a little early in the message to say that, but wake up. But it is Wednesday and you're tired. Anybody tired? I caught at least one of you in a yawn when I asked that question. We're tired, so maybe it's good to say wake up. But he's talking about not just physically stay awake when you're trying to listen to the sermon, but he's talking about being awake in your life. Amen. Being aware of the realities of the spiritual warfare that's going on around you today. And it is real. And you need to be on guard. And then in verses 3 through 7, we're going to see this. He tells us the first thing he wants us to know. Later on, Lord willing, we'll get to the second thing. But the first thing is, I want you to know that there are scoffers that are going to come in the last days. First, know this. There shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And here's what they're going to say. They're going to scoff and they're going to come in the last days. So first of all, let's talk about what the last days are. What are the last days? I remember when I was a kid and I first was kind of paying attention in church. Then when I got saved and started reading the Bible on my own, I thought the last days was something that we would get to sometime. Like where I was in my life, you know, almost 2,000 years removed from Jesus, that I was still thinking the last days were going to come. But I've come to learn this by studying the scriptures. The last days started a long time ago. And the last days continue until Jesus comes again. So last days doesn't mean a few days towards the end, but it's all the way back. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter 1, 18. 1 Peter 1, 18. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Amen. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Precious blood of Christ. He's redeemed me. Who, verily, was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Okay? When Jesus was made manifest, that was the last times. The last days were in the life of Jesus. When he was made manifest, when he came into the world, his life and his ministry, his death, his resurrection, that was the beginning of the last days. Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. What does it do? Jesus came into the world. He was made manifest, made known to the world. The veil was taken away, and you could see him and believe in him to the glory of God. Okay? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these, what's it say? Oh, there it is. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. I'm just trying to show you the last days started when Jesus showed up, but the rest of it's so good you can't leave it out, right? When you saw Jesus, he's the express image of the person of God. When you saw Jesus, you saw the Father. You saw God. He is the glory of God. And he is the brightness of his glory, and he is upholding all things by the word of his power. I don't understand that anybody reads the New Testament and doesn't understand that Jesus is God. I can't comprehend it. I don't understand it. But the last days, has in these last days, when Jesus came and spoke, that was the last days. Amen. So it was a long time ago, right? Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. All right, let's play a little trivia. Does anybody know who was preaching in Acts chapter 2 and verse 14? Peter. Peter was preaching. Does anybody remember what day it was? It was a feast day. It was the day of Pentecost. That's right. But it was a special day of Pentecost, unlike any other, because the Lord Jesus had died at around Passover. He was buried and rose again. He appeared for about 40 days after that to many disciples, above 500 at one time. And then he ascended up into heaven and he told his disciples to go wait in the upper room. Remember that? And the Pentecost, the 50th, so about probably around 10 days after Jesus ascended into heaven, the day of Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit descended on the 120 in the upper room and they all preached the word of God with boldness. But we have record of Peter preaching, because when all the people heard everybody preaching in other languages and everything was going crazy, Peter gets them all and gets everybody's attention and preaches the gospel to them. So that's what we have here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, And it shall come to pass in the last days. You see it? Saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's good preaching, isn't it?
Amen.
I mean, I feel like that's the preaching I grew up with, right?
Amen.
Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, Jesus preached it, and John preached it, and Paul preached it, and Peter preached it, and every faithful man of God. And by the way, it wasn't just Peter preaching that day. Everybody went out proclaiming the gospel.
Amen.
The men and women, everybody went out preaching. Now, we understand in that culture and context, the women would have went to where the women were, the men went to where the men were. They were segregated.
Amen.
Everybody knew that, right?
Amen.
I feel like I'm about to get sidetracked big time. You ever feel a sidetrack coming on? I just want you to know that everybody gave voice to the gospel.
Amen.
And I'm not trying to advocate. I understand there's a lot of confusion today, especially with Baptists, about whether women should be pastors or not. I'm not advocating for women to be pastors, but I am advocating for every Christian to preach the gospel to everybody they can.
Amen.
Everybody with me still?
Amen.
There's a difference between holding the office of a pastor,
amen,
and proclaiming the gospel to other people.
Amen.
And everybody should do that.
Amen.
Okay. So they were all out there preaching, and they were proclaiming, and I promise you, they were saying the same thing Peter did. Peter stood up and said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, and that's what everybody was saying.
Amen.
But he lets them know that this, what happened that day, was what Joel said would happen in the last days.
Amen.
And so when Jesus showed up and was manifest, his life, his ministry, his death, resurrection, Peter preaching, the Holy Spirit being poured out, and people preaching the gospel and the power of the Spirit, all of that marks the last days. It was all part of the last days. John chapter 6, verse 39. John 6, 39. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Amen.
If you go on and turn a few chapters over to John 12 and verse 44, John 12, 44, Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that sent me, he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness.
Amen.
And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day.
Amen.
For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment that I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. The last day started with Jesus, and the last day is going to end with Jesus.
Right.
And the last day is that great day of the resurrection.
Amen.
When he's going to raise up everyone, those who have been made righteous by faith in Jesus, those who were obedient and believed, are going to be raised up to life.
Amen.
At the last day. He's going to raise them up to life.
Amen.
And those who rejected Jesus, those who stayed in the wrath of God because of their unbelief, are also going to be raised up in that last day. And they're going to be judged by the word of God.
Amen.
Okay? So the last days, he says scoffers are going to rise up in the last days. When the last days? Well, right now. It's the time of the church. It's the era of the church. Some people would call it the church age. I would say my understanding is also the age of the Gentiles, the time of the Gentiles is now. This is a time period that started with Jesus and it ends when he comes again. Now, I want you to know there are all kinds of people believe all kinds of things about these things that we're talking about. There are people who name the name of Christ who spiritualize everything away and say Jesus is not ever coming back. That there is no return of Christ. When you die, if you're in Christ, you go to heaven. And if you're lost, you go to hell. And this world's going to go on and on and on forever and ever. And it's just heaven's always there. Jesus is never coming back here. But I just going to tell you, friend, maybe I'm just too simple-minded, but I just read these verses and it seems abundantly clear to me that Jesus is coming again. He's coming again. There is going to be a resurrection. Of the righteous to life everlasting and the unrighteous to eternal damnation. And that day is coming. So there's going to be scoffers in the last days. And what is a scoffer? A scoffer is those who mock contemptuously. And the root of this word scoffer is used over and over and over in the Gospels. And it's translated most of the time mock or mockers. Okay, so scoffers are the same heart, the same vein, the same inspiration behind them as those who mocked Jesus. And Jesus told his disciples, the Son of Man must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things and be mocked. And scourged and spit upon and crucified. So the heart of those scoffers that exist in these last days from the day of Jesus till the day he comes back again, they are the same. They're the same ones that reviled him when he was hanging on the cross. They're the same ones who spit on him when he was carrying his cross to Mount Calvary. These mockers, these are the same ones who would scourge him and cry out, crucify him. It's the same heart behind them all. Now, if you look to the book of Jude, verse 16, there is a... Jude writes about the exact same thing as Peter does, so it's important for us to look at that. Jude 16. Chapter 1, if you're having trouble finding it. Jude 1, verse 16. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. Amen. Amen. And everybody said, amen. Isn't that good? Listen, I wanted you to see this. He tells us about those scoffers, those mockers. It's the same exact word. Here it's translated in Peter, scoffers. In Jude, it's translated mocker, but it's the same. And he says there's going to be those in the last time, they walk after their own lust. What are they like? Well, they separate themselves, they're sensual, and they don't have the Spirit of God. But then he says this, we read it in verse 20, but ye. And so Jude sets a distinct separation between these who are scoffers and those who are not. And what's the main difference? They don't have the Spirit. And you do. Amen. Well, where did that come from? Well, you have holy faith. Amen. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. And when did your faith begin? We said, well, I've always believed. I understand people say that, and I get that, because I don't know that there's ever been a time in my life where I didn't believe that there was God. But believing that there's God and being saved by faith are not the same thing. Amen. Amen. Everybody with me right now? Boy, we got to get this. A lot of people believe in God and they're going to end up in hell.
Amen.
Believing in God is not the same thing as trusting in Jesus. That's not the same thing as having holy faith that can be built upon. So I asked, we sang the song, and I asked how many of you could remember that happy day when Jesus washed your sins away. When did that happen? Well, it happened when you believed. When you turned away from your sin and unbelief, you put your faith in Jesus Christ alone, and he saved you. You trusted in him. You believed in him, and you received from God holy faith, and you put that faith in him, and you believed.
Amen.
And then you want to build on that holy faith, and you want to pray in the Holy Spirit, and you want to keep yourself in the love of God. You want to look for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's those who are in Christ. And I want you to get this. It's almost like Jude separates everyone else from that. These sensual, these scoffers and mockers, it's everybody who doesn't have faith. And you know, at the end of the day, that's what it is. Those who reject Christ mock Christ.
Amen.
Well, you say, well, not everybody like hates Jesus just because they're not saved. That doesn't mean that they hate God or hate Jesus, but they do.
Amen.
They do. You say, well, I know some people, they're very religious, very spiritual, but they're just not saved. Well, listen, in their heart of hearts, they hate God.
Amen.
You say, well, how could you say that? They have spit upon the sacrifice of God's own son. They've trodden underfoot
Amen.
The Son of God by rejecting him. So these are scoffers who mock just like those who mock Jesus at his crucifixion. And what do? They walk after their own lust. They're sensual. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God.
Amen.
For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. There was a time, friend, before you came to Jesus, you walked after your own lust.
Amen.
You said, well, I was really young when I got saved. You weren't his. And I get it. It's different when you're saved very young than when you're older. But some of you understand this very much, that Jesus has saved you from a life of walking in your own lusts.
Amen.
He's delivered you from that. Saved you from that. So all this stuff talking about these scoffers and how evil and wicked and how far away from God they are, I just want to remind you tonight that but for the grace of God, that's where all of us would be.
Amen.
And it's only by his grace that he's delivered us.
Amen.
And our hope is for them to be delivered too.
Amen.
And what do they say? Saying, where is the promise of his coming? All things continue as they were. All things continue as they were. Verse 5 in our text, 2 Peter 3, 5 says, for this they willingly are ignorant of.
Amen.
For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. I want to tell you how awesome God's word is. Peter wrote this, I don't know, well within the first century, probably around 60 AD, and it's 2026 now, is that right? I got that right, good for me. It took me half of last year to realize it was 2025, so do you understand that people are so deceived by this idea even today? Where is Jesus? They've been saying forever that Jesus is coming again. Where is he? He's not here yet. So since he hasn't come yet, he must not be coming. I had her pastor say, that's like saying, I haven't died yet, so I'm not going to die. Well, I haven't died yet. That's nonsense.
Amen.
Listen, Things are not the same as they've always been.
Amen.
They're not. They're not the same as they've always been. So he points us to the flood, but I want you to get this. They're willingly ignorant, and Romans 1 talks about this too. It's about those who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And if you read Romans 1:18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." But that word "hold" doesn't mean to hold up. It means to hold down. They hold down the truth in their unrighteousness. We would say they suppress the truth in their unrighteousness. And there are a lot of really intellectually smart people who are just dumb.
Amen.
And if you look at the world today and say it's a delusion that there's God, and when you see all of the order and the structure in the universe, that's just an illusion. Or it could be that you are deceiving yourself because you don't want to understand the truth. That there is a God in heaven who we all answer to. We call this today uniformitarianism, the idea that everything continues as it always has been. I really want to go to the Grand Canyon. I've never been there. I've only seen pictures. Have any of you ever been to Grand Canyon? Is it pretty cool? Is it worth the trip? I need to know. Okay, tell me later. I had one guy say yes, and another was like, "Nah." So the uniformitarianism, people would go to the Grand Canyon, they would see the river at the bottom, and they say, "Well, that river flowing at that rate would erode this much," and so they just kind of put that in reverse and go, "Oh, this must have been here for millions and millions of years," right? But if you go to Mount St. Helens, where I have been, and you can find a much smaller scale, but a canyon very similar to that, and you go to there and you go, "Man, how long did it take for this canyon to form? Look at the flow of the water, how fast it would erode what's there." If you put that in reverse, this thing had to have happened thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of years ago, but some of you were alive when Mount St. Helens erupted. How many of you remember it? Right? It's a big deal, wasn't it? It was a catastrophic event that changed the landscape all around there very, very rapidly. And when it exploded, and it exploded, and when the glaciers and the mudslides came down, it deposited all kinds of sediments rapidly, hundreds of feet of sediment. It cut through hundreds of feet of solid granite within a matter of hours. And then with a matter of days and weeks and a couple of months, it carved vast canyons right back through that. And it's been seen. And so you can't look at the world today and go, "Oh man, it's been happening like this forever." Because it hasn't. I was interested in kind of thinking about the floods, because that's what he talks about. The world that then was before the flood. And he says the heavens and earth were different before the flood than they are after the flood. Did you catch that? The heaven and earth before is different than the one after. That one was punished by water. This one is going to be cleansed by fire. Okay? But thinking about floods, check this out. In 2004, some of you might remember this, there was an Indian Ocean tsunami. A 9.1 to 9.3 megathrust earthquake caused waves up to 100 feet high. 100 feet high, and they went miles and miles inland. It changed the landscape all along the coast and shaped about 800 miles of shoreline were completely transformed in a matter of minutes. Minutes. In 2011, there was another tsunami that hit Japan from a 9.0 magnitude earthquake. It caused a wave of 133 feet high, and sediment and stuff washed inland 6 miles from the coast and completely changed everything. Rivers were changed. Like, landscapes were changed in a matter of hours. It completely transformed things. I had to look this up multiple times to find out if it was true or not, because it's just unbelievable. Anybody ever heard of the mega tsunami in 1958 in Alaska? A couple of you have. In 1958, there was a landslide at Liduya Bay. A landslide went into the bay, and it caused a wave. I'm not making this up. I checked it out with AI and everything. This landslide caused a wave 1,720 feet into the mountain. It was traveling over 600 miles an hour and completely scoured mountains over 1,700 feet high. It's hard to believe, isn't it? You can go look it up. It was in 1958 in Alaska. You can check it out with ChatGPT just like I did. Now, I'd read about it before, and I had to verify it because it's just hard to imagine how that's even possible. 1,700 feet? That's crazy. That's crazy. Next time you drive to Tulsa and you go up in the turnpike by Broken Arrow and you see those towers, a couple of those towers about 1,700 feet high. So you can just imagine a wave that high. And all I'm trying to tell you is the scoffers who mock you for believing the Bible, all you crazy Bible people who think that God created everything in 6 24-hour days around 6,000 years ago, you guys are nuts. Because what you should believe is things are the same today as they've always been, and nothing is ever going to change. And yet God sent a flood that completely changed the heavens and the earth. And one day he's going to send fire. And he's going to destroy this heaven and earth and make a new one. Amen. And those who put their faith in Jesus today get to be a part of that new heaven and new earth. Amen. But the only thing for those who deny Christ, who reject him, who scoff at him, is fire. Amen. So let's be faithful to Jesus. And let's be witnesses of Jesus so that others can know him and rejoice with him forever. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you for the time to be here tonight. I pray that you'll bless your word in spite of me. Lord, I know I don't say everything right all the time and I get mixed up and out of order and everything else. And I just pray that you'll bless your word in spite of me. I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict hearts. If anyone hearing this message has never been saved, I pray that they will trust in Jesus with all their heart. Lord, I know you're coming again. And I know Judgment Day is coming. And we'll all be judged by your word. And the word is simply to believe in you. So God, help us to repent of our sin and trust in Jesus alone and be saved. And those who are not saved, that they'll hear and believe. And those who are saved, that we will live our lives for the one who died for us and rose again, and that we'll look for that day, long for that day when you come again. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Please bless and let your will be done in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for your time and attention tonight. I'm going to run and get the basket as soon as we dismiss and set it up here with the contact sheets. If anybody wants to make a phone call, text, visit, write a card, anything at all. Reach out to people and let them know you love them and you care. So that basket will be right up here in just a second. Any other announcements or anything before we go? If you didn't get a chance to be at Bible studies this week, I encourage you fellas, we'll be meeting again next Monday, and the ladies will meet again the 19th.